Have you ever been disciplined by your father or by your mother? I'm sure most of us have. I remember an incident that I had at home when I was about 9, 8, 9, 10. I can't remember exactly, but the memory is etched in my mind, not my age, but the incident. My mother and father went out for the afternoon somewhere, and they left my brother and myself in charge of the house. Bad decision. While they were away, my brother and I decided that we would take down the neighbor's wall. Now, the neighbor's wall was made of breeze block. So we got hold of a hammer, a big hammer. I know. You'd never think I could do it, would you? And we started to dismantle the wall. Fortunately, the wall was quite strong, and we weren't able to make great progress. But we did take a nice chunk out of the top of the wall. And of course, when my parents came back, they saw what we had done. And the consequence really is that I will never forget the fact that we tried to dismantle the neighbor's wall, because they disciplined us. And in those days, they used birch rods. And their discipline had quite an impact. Do I resent them? Absolutely not. Did it help me? Absolutely. Why? Because I have never since then tried to dismantle anybody's wall. Their discipline actually trained me. And I appreciate. Obviously, nowadays, there are different ways of disciplining children, and I am not for one moment suggesting that parents should get birch rods. But this morning, I want to share with you that God will discipline you because He wants to train you. God will train you in every area of your life. You know, last week I was saying that God wants to release His power in you, and He deals with your emotions, He deals with your mind, and He also deals with your body. You need to just make a note this morning that God will discipline you in relation to your body. And this is not trivial, because He will discipline you about what you wear, because God wants you to be modest. He wants you to be well-dressed. He wants you to be well-presented. He will discipline you about what you wear. He will discipline you about what you eat, what you take into your body, and He will discipline you about what you drink and how much you drink and how much you take into your body. If you are going to be useful to God, that is, God will discipline you in all of these areas. God does not want you to become unhealthy so that He cannot use you. And so today, I want to speak about the discipline of the Holy Spirit, because the discipline of the Holy Spirit brings us to a place of usefulness to God. You know, it is possible to be born again. It is possible to be a Christian and to be unserviceable. It is possible to be a child of God and not to be used of God. Not because God doesn't want to use us, but because we haven't allowed ourselves to be trained so that God can use us. Now, the job, somebody once said, the job of a football manager or coach is to make men do what they don't want to do in order to achieve what they've always wanted to be. That's a great quote. That's brilliant. The job of the manager is to make men do what they don't want to do, that which is difficult, that which involves a discipline, so that they can become what they've always wanted to be. We can be like football players. Sometimes they have great talent and ability. They have great ambitions and dreams. However, they never reach their goal. They find it hard to swallow the reality of the manager's discipline, and they are not willing to do what is necessary to bring them to that place of realizing their dreams. Now, as Christians, we too have abilities, we have talents, we have skills, and we have great dreams of being used by God. But we must be willing to submit to the Master's hand so that we are trained, equipped, and fortified for service. So I hope that after listening to this message today, we will be encouraged to believe this statement, which says, God disciplines us, his children, for our benefit, because he loves us. God disciplines us, his children, for our benefit, because he loves us. Now, God's goal, the first thing I want to say in relation to God's goal, is that God does not set out to punish you. God's aim is not punishment. God's aim is to train me so that I can be useful. God corrects, he improves you, he disciplines you, he never punishes you. Discipline is not about punishment. Parents who punish their children never succeed, because punishment is about revenge. If you're punishing somebody, it's about revenge. If you were ever in a fight as a young person, and I'm being very honest with you this morning, opening up all my secrets, I was in some fights as a teenager when I was attacked. And people hurt you, and what do? You don't think there on the spot, I'm going to train you. I'm going to make you a better person. You don't think like that. You think, I'm going to get my own back on you, mate. Take this one and see how that feels. It's not about you deciding I'm going to rehabilitate you, mate. It's about I'm going to give you one right now, and you're going to feel what I'm going to give you. And it's not because I want to, it's because I want to punish you. Now, you know, God is not like that. God doesn't want to take revenge on you. God wants to train you. Discipline is not about punishments. And parents who train their children, who work with them, who set boundaries around them, get great success. So God's goal is to train me so that I'm useful. He wants to bring me to maturity and not to resentment. God uses many things to bring me to maturity. So, number one, God uses his word, because faith, which comes from his word, inspires me. I grow. Prayer refreshes me. Fellowship strengthens me and encourages me. And giving challenges me. These are the four habits to help you to grow to spiritual maturity. The Bible, reading the Bible, listening to the word, prayer, being in fellowship, and a spirit of generosity. So, just on that one, I'm not speaking about financial giving this morning, but let me ask you the question, what do I do when I feel challenged about giving? So, we've spoken this morning about financial giving. We've spoken about giving of our time. How do I respond to that? Do I murmur and do I complain? Or, you know, do I cut through all that stuff and say, Lord, what is it you want me to do? What do you want me to give? I go to places and I go to conferences and, you know, there are things that I am challenged to give about that I know nothing about, and I feel, why should I give to that? When I feel challenged to give like that, I will always do the opposite of what my emotions are telling me to do. You want to grow? Then we got to listen to the opposite of what our emotions are telling. Because if we listen to our emotions, we'll go away and we'll complain and we'll murmur. So God challenges me to grow through giving. And so wherever you are challenged, it's always a good practice to go against what your emotions are telling you to do. However, as well as these four habits of spiritual maturity, there is one other thing that I think is more important than all of these, and it's called God's discipline. We may be practicing all the habits of spiritual maturity. We may be reading our Bible, going to church and giving, etc. However, all children, and that's what the Bible tells us this morning, all children need to be disciplined. The word tells us that he chastens everyone he accepts as a son. In other words, he disciplines us. And some of us need discipline more than others. Did you know that? Some of us need to be disciplined more than others. Some children need very little discipline. Beverly told us this morning that she was never disciplined as a child. That's because she was perfect. Maybe mom and dad would confirm that. But you know, the thing is, those who adhere to the boundaries set by their parents need little discipline. And it's those who constantly break boundaries who need the discipline. God's boundaries are set out in his word. And if we listen to his teaching and follow his ways, then God will need to do less discipline on us. He'll still need to discipline us for a reason I'll tell you in a moment. But he will need to do less discipline because we obey his word. So, when it comes to discipline, God disciplines us. He disciplines all of us. But we do have a choice about whether we receive that discipline or not. For the Lord's discipline to be effective and for it to do some good in me, I have to receive it and not rebel against it. So, do I want the discipline of the Holy Spirit in my life? If I want it, I have to choose to receive it. You know, the Lord, he disciplines every son, but not every son receives it, and therefore it does us no good. As the writer said this morning in verse 5, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. So the question is, how do I receive the Lord's discipline? And it's very simple. I do it by committing myself entirely to God, by making a total surrender of my life called consecration to God. The discipline of God only truly begins after I decide to commit my entire being, body, soul, and spirit into the hands of God, whom I then acknowledge to be totally sovereign in my life. Sovereign means that God is in charge of everything. Commitment, consecration in itself doesn't solve my problem. It's the beginning. Consecration is the beginning of God's hand of discipline upon my life. And from the moment of consecration, God begins to discipline me. That's the start of the journey. And at that moment, God begins, as I was saying last week, and if you weren't here, you need to listen to the message last week. It's up online. God begins to order all the circumstances of my life for my good. Everything. It doesn't matter whether it's good or whether it's bad. We sometimes think that only the good things are for my benefit. But no, our parents discipline us for our benefit. God disciplines us, and he uses everything. So that disappointment, that rejection, that relationship that broke down, everything, that financial problem that you got yourself into, God uses everything to teach me and to train me. So if you had a disappointment recently, ask yourself, what is God trying to teach me? I've got some circumstances going off in my life at the moment, and I'm asking God, God, what are you saying in all of this? I'm not rebelling against it, not trying not to rebel against it, but just simply trying to hear God And asking God, God, what's in this? If it's an illness, asking God, what are you saying to me, you know, in this? So you might say, well, you know, I'm a good person, just like Beverly. I'm good. Why do I need discipline? Why does God need to discipline me? Well, God sees in us what we don't see in ourselves. And we cannot see all the things that need to change. We know a certain amount about ourselves, but God sees all from His point of view. And what God sees is very different to what you see. You know, so therefore, be ready to be surprised. Don't be surprised when God does things that you don't expect. Don't be surprised when sometimes God's discipline seems to be harsh. God will do things that we consider to be unnecessary and at a time that is inconvenient to us. The circumstances we are in may seem very harsh at that particular time, and we may be, you know, we may be tempted to rebel against God. But the Bible tells us this morning, endure hardship as discipline. So are you going through some hardship at this particular moment in time? You may seem, God, this should never, it may seem, God, this should never have happened to me. I never saw this coming. And sometimes God will send things to you from left field. Have you heard that phrase? Things come from left. I never saw that one coming. God will sometimes send things into your life from left field, and it's to deal with stuff in your life that you don't even know is there. It brings out stuff in you that you didn't even know is there. And sometimes when these things happen afterwards, we say, where did that come from? I did that. I never knew that was in me. And God allows things to happen in our lives so that these things can be brought out. So you might be a good person, but God says endure hardship as discipline because God is treating you as children. And it says in verse 11, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Some of you this morning are going through the hardship, and some of you are reaping the harvest of peace and of righteousness because you've been through the mill, you've come out the other side, and God's shown you what's been happening in your life, and you're a different person. So endure hardship as discipline. And remember that later on, that hardship produces a great harvest. A harvest maybe for some people, a harvest of souls, a harvest of revelation, a harvest of helpfulness. All sorts of good things come out of the discipline of the Lord. And let me say this morning that there is no such thing as fate. In your life, when you have consecrated yourself to God and you have accepted the sovereignty of God over your life, there is no such thing as fate and there is no such thing as an accident. God does not allow accidents. If I have committed to God and I believe that He is sovereign over my life, then I have to conclude that there is no such thing as fate and there is no such thing as an accident. In Matthew chapter 10, it says, verse 29, and are not two sparrows sold for a penny, yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside of the Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. I find that amazing. You know, that not only are the hairs of your head counted, but they're actually numbered. That's amazing, isn't it? Now, When I was born, God counted all the hairs of my head and he numbered them. But nowadays, if you go through the numbers, there's quite a few missing. But God knows where they are. God has counted them and God has numbered them. And God cares about everything. Every little thing that happens in your life, God knows about it and God cares about it. My son, it says, do not make light of the Lord's discipline and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because he knows. Not only are they counted, but they are numbered. And if God has numbered the hairs of your head, then surely he knows every weakness, every blemish, and every fault. God knows your need, and he disciplines you according to your need. God has a bespoke plan for your life. Okay, he hasn't got a catch-all plan. He's got a bespoke plan for Mary and Tommy and Johnny and Mike and everybody else, because he knows you intimately, and he knows your faults, he knows your failures, and he knows what he needs to do with you to bring you to a place of usefulness. That's God's aim with each and every one of us, is to bring us to a place of usefulness and a place of likeness to his Son, Jesus Christ. All the events of your life over the last 5, 10, 15 years have been ordered by God for your discipline, education, and maturity. And if you murmured and complained, as we sometimes do, amen? We sometimes murmur and complain. But if we murmured and complained, we didn't understand what God was doing. We failed to recognize this, and we failed to recognize that this was the hand of the Lord upon us. If you thought that it was fate, or that you were just unlucky, or that it was an accident, you didn't understand the Lord's discipline. Now, speaking of earthly fathers, it says, they disciplined us for a while, as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. And quite often, it might not be what we would choose, but God knows what is best for us. So, in conclusion this morning, and I'm bringing you a short message today, in conclusion, but a really important one, will you accept, this is the question for each and every one of us, will we accept the mystery of God's providence in the pain of your life and be trained by it for the sake of good and peace and holiness and productivity, for the sake of your ministry, for the sake of the anointing of God being released? Will we submit to God's hand of discipline, recognizing that he's sovereign? Will we submit and say, Lord, I receive what you are doing in me, because you want to make me holy, you want to make me productive, you want to be able to use me? Will we submit to the mystery of God's providence in the pain of our lives, or will we kick against the goad? Will we kick against it? Will we rebel against it? We can endure it. That's what the Bible says, which means we can remain under it, bear with it, and accept it. And we are thereby trained by it, by remaining under it, by enduring it, by accepting it. We are trained. God trains us when we have that attitude of acceptance and recognition that this is the hand of God. Then that makes us better people. That trains us. We are made better rather than bitter. Because if we don't accept it, we become bitter. And we become resentful and cantankerous people with a bad attitude to life. And we don't understand God and we don't understand his ways. So will you endure and be trained? Or we can refuse it. We can harden ourselves in rebellion against him. And we can be a stiff-necked people like the Jews in Acts chapter 7, verse 51. We are warned. This is the warning of the scripture for us this morning. We are warned not to make light of, to care little for, or to despise the Lord's discipline in Hebrews 12, verse 5. So that's a strong warning to us, not to make light of it, not to treat it as insignificant, but we are to regard it as significant and important, an important part of our lives. So this morning, do you see what God is doing in your life? Have you got that revelation that actually, you know, that time when you kicked off was an opportunity, a great opportunity? That time when you were challenged about giving and you murmured and you complained, that time when there was an opportunity put before you to have a good attitude and to rise above your feelings and your emotions, God was laying an opportunity before you, and by responding to his hand and his discipline in your life, you are trained. You become a better person. You become more like Jesus. And you make yourself a better instrument in the hand of Almighty God. So in conclusion this morning, God's goal is to train me, not to punish me. It's to make me more like Jesus so that I'm useful to him. I'm a useful vessel in his hand. That's the first thing. Always remember that. God's goal, God's purpose in my life is to make me more like Jesus so he can use me. And so with that end in mind, God disciplines me. You know, my parents, they wanted us to grow up to be good citizens. They didn't want us to grow up to be yobs, yeah, causing trouble for other people. My parents were serious about training us so that we grew up to be responsible people, good citizens who made a contribution to society. I owe a huge debt of gratitude to my parents for the way that they brought me up. God is exactly the same with you. They discipline me. God disciplines me, and he disciplines you as well. But the important thing to remember is that God uses everything. Nothing gets wasted with God. Everything is useful to God in your life to bring you into a new place, to do a new thing with you, to bring you to a place of usefulness. So we need to get that revelation that God is in everything. He is sovereign. Once we have made that commitment, Lord, here I am yours. So with that in mind, he disciplines me and he trains me so that I'm a good citizen, so that I'm a good citizen of the kingdom of God, that I'm not, you know, a yob in the kingdom of God, to coin a phrase. God doesn't want yobs in the kingdom. He wants good citizens. He wants men and women who are useful, whom he can use for his glory. And so the challenge is I can accept it. I can accept my life. I can accept the circumstances of my life. I can accept the bad things that happen to me as well as the good things that happen to me. And I can be trained by them and I can learn from them, or I can reject it. But if I reject, then it does me no good. How many things have we wasted because we haven't accepted what God was doing in our lives? I just pray this morning that this series of messages that I'm doing at the moment, you know, concerning the release of God's power in us, God dealing with us in our emotions and in our feelings and in our will, so that his precious blessing that's inside of each of us can be released in an amazing way. I just command the blessing of God upon each and every one of you, so that the revelation of God is upon you, that you see in a new way what God is doing in your life, so that I see what God is doing in my life, that God can bring me and you to a place of greater usefulness for his glory.